been with Above the Bridge for a while now, and we're so happy to have a venue for her downtown now.
Today is a very auspicious day, in addition to this wonderful event, for which I thank Joey and Stacy for inviting me again. It is the beginning of Banned Books Week by the American Library Association. And it is also the day that hundreds of poets are organizing events throughout the world, from Afghanistan to Zimbabwe, for 1,000 Poets for Change. So thank you for the beautiful coincidence. I'm going to read one piece from my new book, if anybody can hear me. Yes? Okay. I thank the Northern Manhattan Arts Alliance for helping me publish this collection. The piece is entitled Speaking of the Past. I walk in the company of my memories, step by step, street by street, green light go, red light stop, right, left, right, left, breathing deeply and then tired. The past is getting dimmer. Who was I thinking about a few minutes ago? The weather seems to help me remember. Rain, it's raining today. Was it raining on that day? Yes, there was an umbrella with you and I was wearing an anorak. And my chin was wet, I remember. Green light go, red light stop, and I crossed the street for the meeting. The umbrella was large and protected us both. And soon the rain stopped. There was a smile on your face. Right, left, right, left, hand in hand. You're with your umbrella, and I'm wearing my anorak. A few more streets, a little while yet. Green light go, red light stop. When trying to pick pieces for today, I looked for inspirations from nature, my imagination, and crime. This next piece is a reminiscence of a trip to Egypt. Two friends announced they were planning to discover Cairo and the desert. I said I'd go, remembering my school trip there, my 12-year-old self touring Giza and the pyramids, stopping for tea at the Mena house, taking a boat ride to King Tut's tomb, an overnight train ride to Karnak Luxor and the Valley of the Kings. The following week, I sold my camera, a beautiful single-lens reflex Nikon with a gorgeous macro lens. I was young, fearless, and ready for heatstroke. The men were giddy with excitement. We talked about shots and malaria pills, eating great food on a student budget. In my mind, I visited the souk with endless stalls of ladies' galabiyas, ate dried dates coated in chocolate, and bought books by the new Nobel laureate. But I never made it to the tarmac at JFK. The camera paid that month's rent. A piece about our neighborhood, Hudson Palisades, and the epigraph reads, "The snow brings ancestors," Sharon Olinka. In winter, I don't see them for days at a time. I leave for work, walking away from the steep cliffs. In the evening, they have drawn the curtains. When I see them dressed in a white shawl, they seem joyous, as if the dark exposed limbs of the trees had made them feel somehow naked. The next piece is entitled The Cadavers off Ocean Parkway, Long Island, and it's dedicated to the four women whose bodies were identified sometime in the winter, to Maureen, Melissa, Megan, and Amber. To those who loved them, they were friends, daughters, and sisters. To the clients, they were prostitutes, tits and ass. To their Johns, they were cunts, exploitable and faceless. To the assassin, they are unwanted, unworthy, and disposable. The mass murderer has not been found yet, so. Moods. I come to you tonight after a wonderful concert. I'm looking for love. I heard some Bach, Beethoven, and Schumann, not just any sonata, the F sharp minor, opus 11. I know that one so well. I sat there transported, envisioning myself in bed with you, naked and laughing, surrounded by sheets of paper, me reading poetry, you interrupting me with kisses, then making love. A powerful image that felt good. I come to you this evening after a walk in Washington Square Park. I'm looking for love. I was watching a painter splashing colors on a canvas, Indian yellow, cerulean blue, and zinc white, not just any paint. I know those colors so well. I sat there, transported, envisioning myself in bed with you. I come to you tonight after hearing a jazz quartet at Bar 55. I was looking for love. I heard mellow tunes from the 60s, not just any composition, but Herbie Hancock, music I know so well. I sat there transported, envisioning myself in bed with someone other than you. The first time I read this piece, someone asked me during the reception, how long did it take you to read about sex in front of your parents? I will finish with two very recent pieces. Irene, about the hurricane. I wake up at 3 a.m. to her roars. Lioness, she claws the airwaves, jolting my quiet corner in Washington Heights. A few hours later, like a thief, I open the window slightly to steal fresh air and notice only the storm's presence. Why the lashing, Irene? Late in the morning, the sky transforms from silvery arc covering to transparent. The sun, absent for so long, is now palpable. The incessant rain stopped and the wind, first taunting us, exploding, is now calmer, blowing around moisture from the trees. When can we return to the blades of grass, thanking the sun? The dog walkers are the first to explore. Even after the worst has passed, no children's laughs are heard. I see people strolling here and there, nature's sounds still covered by radio hums, saws performing postmortems on trees. We wait for the birds to sing to everyone and no one. And my last piece, thank you, which is a first reading, is in the form of a haibun. If you're unfamiliar with this, it's a prose poem which ends in a haiku. In search of Rilke at the Metropolitan Museum of Art, after a reading of Archaic Torso. A Sunday afternoon, the final lazy weekend of summer, I escape to the cool, bright corridors of that art institution. I am in search of Apollo or Rilke. In the Hellenistic and Roman wing, I find Hermes, Eros, Heracles, headless torsos of young men and women, centaurs, athletes, and heroes. I turn around each statue and sepulcher, reading labels and descriptions. In desperation, I ask a guard, but she's clueless. I search for him in a cubiculum nocturnum, i.e. bedroom, in galleries, in the faces and camera lenses of tourists, finally finding him through old-fashioned help, the humble assistance of the information desk clerk. There are two Apollos here, one in worse shape than the other, one slightly taller, one still resting against a marble trunk, one with more genitals intact, more of the hip areas outlined with both feet, perfect toes and toenails. The Japanese tourist photographs her friend grabbing, or is it covering, the genitals. I hear the guard laughing heartily. Men, women, and children walk by. Few stop by to look at the headless torso. Few read the description. Few acknowledge that this was Apollo. This was the god of music and poetry, son of Zeus, father of Orpheus, one of the 12 Olympians, Dii Consentis. Who cares for those lesser gods and heroes when Apollo is in the room? And still, I don't find Rilke, a man at least in some form or manner representing him, his essence, or a man who has read his work, a man aware of that dilemma called mid-career or life crisis. I wonder, if I tear a piece of paper, write in bold capital letters Rilke, and hold it up, will someone stop and chat with me, sit and read with me that poem, ask me questions about it, maybe reveal something about himself, a revelation found only through this encounter? If any answers to man's inner quest is to be found on earth, it could be at the feet of this statue or another work of art, at this museum or another like it, in this city or another metropolis such as the many found on this and other continents. In the museum, tourists walking by, but none are Rilke. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lena.